Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to talk more about Anthony Richardson and not the decision anymore. We did that yesterday. Anthony Richardson benched by the Colts. Joe Flacco was starting quarterback, because there's a way in which I think this ties into how we should be feeling in Kansas City with quarterbacks in the league right now and quarterbacks to come. We all know the Chiefs, of course, are in a great position. They have the best quarterback in football. Duh. And they already have the next 8+ years figured out. Right. There's an advantage, of course, in that. There's a handful of teams that have that. The Chiefs have that with Mahomes. Cincy has it with Burrow. Bills have it with Allen. I think the Texans now have that with C.J. Stroud. Am I missing anybody? That seems, you know, maybe Jaden Daniels, maybe the Commanders have that guy already, too. Maybe they're figured out now for the next decade. There's a huge advantage in that. And it looks even better when you talk about how much money some of these other quarterbacks that are not the guy are getting paid. And then Anthony Richardson showing you just how difficult it is to evaluate the quarterback. They knew he was a project, Bink. And now that project isn't even getting a chance to develop anymore.
No, it is the hardest thing to do in sports. And honestly, I mean, do you feel there's a harder position in sports than the quarterback position? I mean, of any of the sports, baseball, if you're looking, maybe we need a lefty to come in here, whatever, or point guard in basketball.
Yeah. Overall, I think, quarterback, yes.
I think quarterback is the most high profile.
Yeah, I mean, with all the attention, the expectation, everything that comes with it, it's quarterback. Now, I think hitting a 100-mile-per-hour fastball is the hardest thing ever to do. But as far as the full package, yes, I'm with you. Playing quarterback is the toughest.
Yeah, it is. But it's amazing how they get it wrong. And these are the organization, the time they spend at college campuses, watching every game, watching literally every throw. I mean, because if you're going to draft a quarterback to be a franchise, you're watching every throw. And some of the things are head-scratching. I mean, you go back to like Trey Lance, who didn't play at all his senior year but one game. North Dakota State was that COVID year where they shut down and played only one game. It's like, why take a chance on that? Anthony Richardson barely played at Florida. Will Levis was the real head-scratcher to me, because here's, you know, two knuckleheads in Kansas City doing a podcast saying stay away from the guy that threw 26
concerns.
Yeah, threw 26 interceptions his last 2 years. That screams franchise quarterback to me, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. But teams continually make a mistake. I brought this up last night, Alex. I don't know how you feel about this. But Michael Penix, when he was drafted by the Atlanta, because Atlanta's done several questions, like Tyler Allgeier, very good running back, ran for 1,000 yards. They got him in fifth round, but then they get Bijan the next year. Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm. It's like, why do they need back-to-back running back? Because they continually do this. They paid big money on an aging Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles injury and one playoff win. And they spend all this money, but yet they draft Michael Penix. Now, were they being smart? Were they being smarter than everybody else, thinking, you know what? The quarterback class this year sucks, and so does next year's too, by the way. Jackson Arnold, as bad as he is at Oklahoma, is a top five quarterback in next year's class. Did they say, all right, these next 2 years, we have a chance to get Michael Penix, let's do it? Do you think that they were actually smart in thinking ahead, or did they get lucky in doing it? But it makes sense. Look, now when you think about it.
I think there's a chance, though, that you always need luck on your side with this, too. I mean, that's part of the equation. You know, sometimes you do luck into certain things. I mean, the Commanders, I think they have a really good general manager in their evaluation process. They decided that Jaden Daniels was that option. You look at the Panthers a year ago. They thought Bryce Young was better than C.J. Stroud. It looks so easy in hindsight. It looks like, well,
did they think he was better than Caleb Williams, or was it because Caleb Williams went before him? Or they actually sit back saying,
oh, I mean, if the Commanders,
I like Jaden Daniels before Caleb Williams. I'm on record saying that.
We'll never know the real answer, but if the Commanders had the number one overall pick, I think Jaden Daniels would have not been the number one overall pick. I think Jaden Daniels would be in Chicago right now instead. And it doesn't mean that Caleb Williams won't end up having just as good of a career as Jaden Daniels. Right now, Jaden Daniels, understandably so, is getting all the love and all the accolades because he's been incredible. He's got a team 6-2 leading the NFC East and all that. I think, though, what you brought up with Penix there and just what it means for the rest of the NFL with the Richardson decision, too, is Ross Tucker joined us yesterday, and he mentioned the lack of ability to develop quarterbacks now in the NFL. And I think there is truth to that. Like you're not allowed to develop quarterbacks in the NFL anymore. Now, the Falcons maybe have the luxury of being able to do that because they have Kirk Cousins. But that
kind of a homes him a little bit.
That can happen there. But most times, you can't develop a quarterback. The guy has to succeed almost right away in today's day and age. And you can say it's a problem and all that, but like that's the reality of the situation. I think some of that is because of the leash that is on coaches and GMs, which is a short one. You have basically like 3 years to figure this thing out, man. Otherwise, usually you're out.
It depends too, because Troy Aikman was thrown right into the fire. Peyton Manning was thrown right into the fire and really struggled his first year. That's what those guys did. I mean, they were thrown right in there.
But they don't give you a chance. If you feel like Bryce Young, people are already done with him. The Colts, I think, are done with Anthony Richardson. Like that's what I'm saying. You don't have time to have a year and a half of quote unquote failing. They don't care. You're done at that point.
Rodgers sitting behind Favre. I mean, luxuries, but it has happened before in the NFL. It can't happen again, but these quarterback salaries getting so ridiculous. I think people are looking for that magic elixir with Mahomes and Alex Smith. Remember Flacco when he went to Denver? He didn't want to train Drew Lock. He didn't want to help Drew out at all. Like, he wasn't interested in that. And he said that as much. He's like, I'm here to play football. I'm not here to develop other quarterbacks, which is fine. That's who he is, and that's his attitude. He probably didn't help Anthony Richardson out, to be quite honest with you.
No, and Flacco's plan is because I think some of it is that people view that as, you know, Flacco being an a-hole. Also, though, he's still playing at a high level. He views it as like, I can still play at a high level. I don't have to do that. I think it means you should appreciate what Alex Smith did more and more as time goes on. But just because Alex Smith did that, it doesn't to me mean that if you don't do it the exact same way as Alex Smith did in terms of being a true mentor and helping out Patrick Mahomes, I don't think it means that you're the worst person to be in the NFL if you're not willing to help the next guy. Like, there is still something to be said for you having to worry about your own job, right? Not some people are going to do that. Some people aren't. Alex Smith's a special person. Good for him, right, for approaching it that way. But I don't think because Alex Smith did that we have to view Joe Flacco as this terrible person that won't help out the young quarterback.
Yeah, I think it shows a little bit of your character, though. Like, how much you in the team, how much you in yourself.
In his mind, though, he's helping the team by being the starting quarterback.
I get that, but I think it shows that a little bit of Flacco. Like, I lost a lot of respect the way he treated Drew Lock in Denver. I really did. And that, who knows what the rest of the teammates think? I know that Indy, Michael Pittman, these other guys are like putting things out on social media, supporting, you know, their quarterback, Anthony Richardson. It can divide a locker room if the quarterback, it's not seemingly looked at as he has their back, that he's trying to undercut said quarterback. It's a bad look sometimes.
Oh, Anthony Richardson did this to himself, though. Let's be real. I mean, the guy tapped out because he was tired.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That quarterback in the NFL said, I'm tired. Take me out, coach.
It was weird how he almost...
The way he could have done this without doing that, like Nate Taylor this morning, took his knee. He could have said it's his knee or other ways he could have done it.
It's weird how he almost outed himself because, I mean, he wasn't playing good anyway. So I think that was... Part of the problem is, do you keep playing him? Do you bet that? All of that stuff. And then the whole head tapping thing. He almost put the nail in the coffin for himself for this season, at least, theoretically. And the Colts have said, hey, we're not giving up on him. I think it's really hard for them, whenever they do, to go back to him, just given all of that has happened. Like, can you trust the guy? Did the teammates trust the guy? Is it ever going to be the same again as it was after that single play where he tapped himself out of the game? I don't know.
The good news is the Chiefs are the only team to pay their quarterback insane money.
Yeah.
It's not insane money because it's Patrick Mahomes and actually win. Since any of the quarterbacks that gotten paid recently, none of them have won. Like, Josh Allen's gotten paid. He hasn't made it to a Super Bowl. Joe Burrow went to a Super Bowl before he got paid.
Lamar
hasn't gotten a Super Bowl, period, paid or otherwise.
Dak's not going.
Jalen Hurts went to a Super Bowl before he got paid.
CJ Stroud, we have yet to see yet.
Correct. I mean, so that's what's impressive. And that to me is more of a statement about the job that Brett Veach has done than anything else.
That's about the general manager job,
Bink. Because we know that the Chiefs showed they can win when their quarterback's not making a half a bill. And that's tough to do anyway. They've now shown in back-to-back seasons they can do it when their quarterback's making that kind of money. It's much tougher to put together your roster, and that's the challenge. And this is not meant to take a shot at Cincy, Drew, but that's what makes it impressive. We've seen Cincy. They have a great offense. Their defense is so deficient. Their GM, I don't believe, knows how to build a roster when your quarterback's making that kind of money, and soon to be
correct,
Ja'Marr Chase. And so that's a compliment to what Brett Veach has done. You know,
I think that might be the thing that actually really pisses off every other fan base more than anything else. I don't think it's the fact that they win. It's the fact that they've paid Mahomes and nobody else. Their team can't do what Brett Veach has done. Their GM can't do it for whatever reason. And, you know, they got the coach, they got everything that you want. It's just jealousy, I think, in a way, from every other fan base that they want what the Chiefs have, and they know that they don't have it, and they probably will never have it.
You know, I had a change of philosophy as far as these quarterback salaries getting out of control. And I thought, okay, you know, that should be an uncapped position. You know, they've talked about being the uncapped, but yet cap the uncapped at like $50 million a year, something like that. But the more I think about it, the more I'm against it. Like, if you're rooting for the Chiefs, you don't want to cap quarterback salaries. You want teams to pay Dak Prescott and Trevor Lawrence and rename the stadium Trevor Bank Stadium. You want that because you found a way to win while paying your quarterback, and other teams can't. That's a certain advantage for the Kansas City Chiefs. The number one, they don't have to look for another quarterback, and number two, they've paid their quarterback and won. And all these other teams are struggling, and watch the 49ers. Watch what happens.
Purdy's about to get $60 million a year.
Watch what happens to the 49ers when they pay Brock.
I know it sounds nuts, like that dollar amount, but that's what Brock Purdy's about to get, guys, in the offseason.
Oh, he is.
Brock Purdy's about to get $60 million on average per year. And that's the going rate for a franchise quarterback in the National Football
League. And it's not helping what's in the college football draft coming in the NFL. It's not helping at all. Next 2 years is rough, and especially where the Niners are going to be drafting. They're going to be drafting in the 20s. So they're not going to have to quote that guy unless they make a move up.
And that's why there's, you know, we get into the whole who has more pressure kind of stuff we did yesterday. You know, yes, if the Chiefs are going for a three-peat, they'll have the pressure. But in general, the Niners, these last couple of years, they have had they've had more pressure because they're not paying their quarterback yet. And we know they're about to have to do that. They paid Brandon Ayuk. Unfortunately, he's hurt now. But and good for him that he got paid before the injury. But that makes their job tougher to try to navigate the roster. They paid Christian McCaffrey. They played Brandon Ayuk. Both those guys haven't been hurt. One hasn't played all year. You know, they can get by with that when you're not paying your quarterback.
It's kind of ridiculous because Jordan Mason can step right in, and Garrendo can step right in as well.
That's a credit to Kyle Shanahan and that run.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Scheme.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.